Okay.
So welcome to the Keys to an Engaging Social Media Presence by Adrian Paterath.
Yes, that is correct. No problem.
All right, you're up.
Well, welcome. As Jenny said, I'm Adrian.
Should we close the store?
And as you can see, Keys to an Engaging Social Media Presence, Maximizing Impact in the Digital Ministry Space. And just that graphic, you know, it's meant to feel like there's so many things on social media. There's it seems there's never enough time, and the demand just keeps getting more and more. So what I hope to do is maybe simplify things as far as why, maybe the heart behind social media, just to introduce it. A little bit about us. Well, my wife was just here with our little girl, Zeal. So for 2015 to 2023, I worked for a production agency, social media agency. So for 8 years, pretty much in New York City, worked with a ton of different brands. And from 2017 to 2020, Krista served in the missions field in Sicily. And so we met in 2020 during the height of COVID, actually. So if anyone's believing, look, if he can do it during COVID, he can do it for anyone. Through a couple named Chris and Sandy LeBron, who you may or may not know, but they've been an instrumental part to a lot of success here. We launched, and so I left the company in October, having a baby girl, having a lot of freelance, and just trying to also help Mission Church. We do Mission Church and social media together. It was just way too much, and so broke off from what seemed like very stable. Just had a baby and giving up health insurance. It was a risk that we felt like the Lord was in. And you never know like what the reward might look like. But for us, it seemed instantaneously. We were like, okay, we're going to go down to like half our budget. But the very month after, like the Lord just provided all different types of work. That's his faithfulness, but also 8 years of consistency with God's help has really help all that comes together. So we currently work with the Mission Church. We work with AG World Missions Europe, the Europe division. And starting May 1st, we'll be working with Love Life, who is a pro-life organization, which some of the churches here actually financially support. So that's a little bit about us. So I wanted to talk a bit about the heart behind social media in ministry. Which is so awesome because this presentation was done long before we obviously heard Sister Esther's message. But just to kind of preface why we're doing this, these three passages, Genesis 1, 2 to 3, Exodus 31, 1 through 3, Luke 24, 49, which is the counterpart to Matthew 28, 19 through 20, after Jesus has been raised from the dead. We see in the creation of the world, in the creation of the tabernacle, where God's Spirit is going to fill people. As you may know, the first people that the Bible documents as being filled with the Spirit were not preachers. They were builders. They were designers. They were architects. And God gave them incredible. He anointed what skill they already had. And they were able to create a dwelling place, a place where God's fire could actually meet with people. And also when the Spirit, who exists to reveal Jesus, creates new disciples. If anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. So in everything we see creatively, the Holy Spirit is involved. And so that helps us not to do social media like the world does it, which is very vain. It's very self motivated. As you know, like if you're on social media often, there are a lot of things that you don't even want to see that somehow end up in your feed. And I promise you, there are people who are trying to get trash on your feed just because you're a follower of Jesus. They target you specifically. So it's not a tool for vanity, but it's a tool for disciple making. It's not the end goal by any means. As we know, like God established his church without social media. And the early church also didn't have indoor plumbing, didn't have microphones, didn't have smart boards. So again, everything is just a tool and should be framed as such. It's just a tool to help. But it's an incredible tool because there's metrics involved. We can know what's working, we can adjust. And it should be a snapshot of what hopefully is the reality in your ministry space. Obviously, there's plenty of things on social media that when you get behind the scenes, that's not the reality. I've worked with people who they're musicians and they seem to have hundreds of thousands of followers and they want to work with you and, you know, they want you to help them grow. And then you go into the back end and you realize all those followers are in Brazil somewhere and they bought them. And it's not an actual reflection of the reality. That should not be the same as us. So it also helps us keep focus on the why and safeguards us from all the dangers of, you know, having a false picture and everyone thinking, wow, God's really with us and he's not, as, you know, Esther talked about. So the digital pulpit and why social media matters. So we'll just go through these basic points. So the landscape of the digital engagement demonstrates that platforms like YouTube, so basically all the platforms have every kind of demographic on it. So there's never been a tool where you're able to reach every kind of person, every ethnic group, every age group. They're all on social media, and there's an emphasis of where each group might be based on their age group. For example, Gen Z, Gen Alpha on TikTok, we'll see whether that gets banned permanently within a year, which would be really interesting. We know that millennials dominate on Instagram. Everyone's on YouTube, right? YouTube's where your kids are watching YouTube Kids. They're finding about every toy that they demand from you. But you can also learn how to cook and you can watch sermons online. And there's incredible resources there. So almost everyone, which is what's kind of ironic, is the people who kind of think churches shouldn't be on social media or social media is useless. The place that they usually make that complaint is on social media.
Exactly.
Which is a little funny to me. So again, leveraging these platforms allows for the sharing of sermons, spiritual guidance, community events, and more, you know, broadening the church's reach well beyond the physical walls and creating connections with both a global and local audience that are hungry for meaningful content. If you look at what does really well in the long run, it's things that people feel are helpful to them. There are always fads. There are always things that are trending. But we interestingly have a treasure trove, because even with organizations that have to spend thousands and hundreds of thousands on creating content, there's no place really that or organization where a message is being prepared every single week. And from that message comes insight, comes clips, comes quotes, comes things that people write down. And also, it's God's word, and so it's eternal, and so it's always relevant, even as culture is constantly changing. And again, for anyone who missed it, this will all be made available to you, so you don't have to go crazy with notes unless it, you know, you feel like. So the main thing that is kind of the crux of two different ways of doing social media is promoting versus doing. So if you look to the top right, there's an image of what we created for the Mission Church, which is basically a calendar glance. So at the beginning of every month, we'll create a calendar, we'll touch base with one of the pastors, and we'll get everything that's happening. So when people go to the feed, the first thing that they see pinned to the top are all the happenings of the ministry. And again, it's a non-exhaustive list. As you can see, there's always more events, more details. They can go to the main website where they can find. But I also included the analytics. The accounts reached 213 people. Accounts engaged, 15. And people who saw the posts on the feed, only two of them actually went to the feed. Versus Amy, who does the sound and live streaming production stuff, she gave a testimony of a really powerful testimony, and that reached 1,200 people. And if you look at the bottom, 46% of that of her testimony were not even followers of the church.
Wow, that's great.
Right? So it's what we have is to develop a strategy, an approach to church social media that involves balancing both the promotion of ministry and ministry events while with actively engaging in ministry online. There's a difference. For instance, take the Mission Church strategy, right? We just talked about this. A proactive promotion keeps the congregation informed, encourages participation, but the lifespan, you post an event, once the event's over, nobody's really going back to see what happened months later. The lifespan is very short, but when you're producing testimonies and real things that are coming out of the lives of people who you're connected with, those things are evergreen. Their testimony is always going to be their testimony. It's always legit. Again, the word is eternal, like the preaching. Those things just people revisit. So again, the lifespan is limited. So doing ministry, and another example is usually at January, right? There's a lot of churches do 21 days of prayer and fasting and other events that are promoted on social media. But what we did with Pastor Greg's frequently asked, he put together material to help the congregation. So he had available a PDF that was frequently asked questions. What is fasting? What kind of fasts are there? Are there limitations? What about social media fasting, which we all know is not really a fast, but it's discipline, right? It helps you to not get distracted while you're supposed to be anyways. But putting that FAQ out there in different portions where people could save them, they could share them, they could actually be educated. So that's kind of the difference between promoting versus doing. And the more you can push out doing, the better you'll be for it. So this approach not only informs, but also invites immediate engagement. It transforms passive viewers into active participants. Same thing with, you can post a thing, hey, we're having a prayer night. Or in addition to that, you post an actual guided prayer. So when people are reading it, like, hey, pray with us. You know, again, you don't need, it's good to have an amazing camera. But a lot of it is right on your phone. Like, these things are absolutely incredible what they're able to do. And so this dual strategy ensures that the church or your ministry maintains the dynamic and inviting presence on social media, catering to both current members and potential new followers. So I want to give you kind of a snapshot of what a weekly calendar could look like for your church. Obviously, there, and this is not including the promotion of events. It's Kristen Zeal.
Yay!
Hello.
Hello.
This is Zeal.
Yeah, this is our daughter. She was smaller in the photo, so it was a while ago. Obviously, all the photos are usually of her and rarely of us all together. So churches, again, possess a unique advantage in that there's content-rich sermons delivered weekly. And even more if you have a Wednesday night prayer meeting or any other additional services. And thanks to technology and the push from the pandemic, most churches now have just an archive of so much content. It really is, it might all be there, what you need. At least for creating the evergreen. So this is not including promoting events or things that are happening right away. And so what you may lack in budget and staff and where organizations invest heavily into content ideation and production, we can leverage the wealth and spiritual insights already produced from the pulpit, translating this into social content that both edifies our soul, fosters community both online and off. So here's a sample of a 1 week. So Sunday's message just happened. So Monday, maybe you do a sermon reel. You take a clip that was just really powerful, whether you extract it directly from the live stream or you have someone who's, you know, volunteer job there is to get, you know, clips from the message while it's happening. So you kick off the week with a sermon reel on social media, complete with, you know, a call to action that invites people to watch the full sermon online. Hey, if you missed it yesterday, we have the message online. Tuesday, you can take a quote and you just share a quote. You know, it's perfect for just something like, hey, because usually by time, I wouldn't even say Monday, but Sunday evening, people's minds have just been filled with so much stuff and bombarded that they might not even remember what they heard this morning. It's just that crazy. And Wednesday, maybe you're taking the main points from the sermon and you're doing a carousel, so where people swipe through. And again, the length and the depth that you have to go in all depends on whether you have a volunteer, whether you have somebody who's part-time, a freelance individual, or somebody who's just really passionate. And that's always the goal, somebody from within the house. And sometimes that's not, there is no one in the house, and you just need somebody who's trained, or if there is a budget, you can always pay someone who really cares and understands. We'll have Q&A shortly after. How am I doing on time? Okay, perfect. So maybe sermon Thursday, you do sermon reel number two. And I put next to it what I think somebody who's maybe a bit proficient would take in doing it. So sermon reel, maybe 2 hours, hour and a half. Not all of it has to be done in, ideally, if you can find somebody who can do it in all one block, that's great. And now here's kind of like the gold standard. Maybe Friday and Saturday, there's a blog that goes on the website. And this is a 6 to 10 minute clip that's been transcribed. And we'll get to tools in a moment. You don't have to actually transcribe everything by hand. You shouldn't be like listening to the whole message. And like that's not feasible. Yeah. The tools that we have now can do a lot of these things actually automatically. With a bit of assistance from your part. And so even with just extracting from one sermon, with 11 to 17 hours in the week, you can put together all these pieces of content. And they don't even have to be necessarily related to that same week that it was preached. Again, this is evergreen. So feel free to scan this. I've curated a select list of tools, resources. Again, a copy of this presentation. If you scroll down, you put in your information. There's an email input that I'll be able to, you know, send it to you. You'll find again in your summit pamphlet or portfolio. There's my website, our website, and you can always just get in touch. If you just need direct contact, you know, with me. Oh, is it everyone's?
There's no service.
Okay, so in your in your pamphlet there, it's adrianpaterath.com or zealcreative.work, and so there should be a business card in your brochure.
Oh, yeah, the URL is there too: zealcreative.work/thesummit2024.
Yeah, so it's a private link that's available that I've created for.
Would you say that again? I'm sorry.
It's right on the board right there. It's zeal. It's in the parentheses, zealcreative.org/thesummit2024. Type that in and it'll take you.
Yeah, so I'm actually going to see if I can scan it and we'll go through. Yeah, so there's a handful of tools. So a lot of what inspired even this workshop and what I go to, there's a individual named Brady, and he has church, pro church tools. Gold mine. I mean, just absolute gold mine of insight, what's working. He has some hot takes, but he's clearly really passionate about equipping churches and social media. If you've been any kind of on the radar of like what's happening in the AI world, ChatGPT. Now, the ethical way to use ChatGPT is not to have it generate things out of the air for you, right? Like, if you're preparing a message, you need the word of the Lord, not ChatGPT's Bible analysis. But it is excellent for even if you've written something with helping with prose and helping with the wording. Maybe you forgot a couple of grammar rules over time, and ChatGPT can help you in that. If you already have ideas that you're trying to develop, ChatGPT is great for that. It's just a treasure trove. There's a paid version, there's a free version. A lot of the tools here have a free and paid version, so you can kind of test things out, see what works. CapCut, or if you're really advanced, Premiere Pro, but CapCut is a user-friendly video tool where you can put in your whole sermon video, and you can chop it up, put captions on it. It's really great. Canva is gold for people who are not, right? For people who are not graphic designers by trade. You can create even brand looks on Canva, so everything feels consistent. What sometimes happens is each ministry is responsible for their own graphics, but everyone likes a certain style. And so having kind of a brand guideline or something, everyone in the church using the same Canva account, can help everyone see what everyone is looking. Opus Clip is incredible. Awesome. Yeah. It'll actually find clips for you within the message. And you obviously don't have to pick all 10 clips. You pick which one works better, and you can also adjust the time. Other tools are there. Later.com is like a way to schedule things just ahead of time. And again, if you scroll down to the bottom and you want to talk more about it, I'm available. I'm shooting all day, so while I'm shooting, if you want to whisper in my ear, or ask Krista, again, I'm happy to just jump on a call with anyone and everyone, maybe while, Zeal's hanging out with us. So is it worth it? Obviously, there are levels of investment that you can make. But I think even if your online efforts don't really, if you don't go viral, if you don't blow up, every post, each video, and each message is reaching people who already follow you and are already part of your community. And I think reinforcing God's promises, getting them, it's a great way to broadcast. You don't have to put a stamp in mail and do a mailer to everyone. So that's the worst case scenario, is you edified your already engaged audience. Like, that's not a loss at all. You can support, educate, uplift your existing members, which is a worthy mission in of itself. And so, yeah, so questions, comments, anything I can address. You had one.
Yeah, the sermon clip, I wasn't, like, you had held the times on the side, like you said, had the sermon reel, which is like 2 to 3 hours long.
So the sermon reel might take 2 to 3 hours to edit, together, but
that's the work to get.
Yeah, it's the work to get it done, not how long something should be. Yeah. No, the message isn't even that long. So, yeah, and those are estimates, again, depending on the tool you're using, whether you're proficient or learning. And again, the only way to really get better is to just keep at it and try.
Now, is the sermon reel the actual sermon or just clips of it?
It's a 1 minute, 30-second to 1 minute bite from the sermon, maybe like something that would be relevant to not just people who understand church language, but something that maybe is addressing anxiety. And honestly, depending on, what the emphasis was. Obviously, it's always great to have somebody who sat in and listened to the sermon and maybe makes a marker of like a timestamp. That's a great help.
All right, so what's the difference between a clip and a reel?
It's the same.
Okay.
Same thing. Yeah.
Making up words.
What's your approach on like kind of helping volunteers get your vision for what you're looking for to push out on the church account?
Yes, yeah, so
sometimes it gets lost in translation and you end up, I'm sure, doing it a lot on your own.
Yes. So a mood board is really helpful, saying like, hey, like this is the, I've pulled together these kinds of images from people I've seen who are doing it really well.
Yeah.
And so although we're not there yet, this would be the goal. Mm-hmm. So I think even establishing, hey, like this is what we want things to look like by, you know, casting vision as far as like, these are the people that are doing it well. Now the content's gonna be different. Like the subject matter is going to be different. But the thing about graphic design, whether it's you're looking at things on Pinterest, things on Canva, especially on Canva, they've really contracted a lot of designers to create the templates. And so you're not necessarily having to start from scratch, which I think is a great...
I meant like more of like in-the-house kind of content. Like you have people on cameras and stuff. So like how do you navigate like kind of getting them to see what you want and what you want to reach out?
So we were I left.
Right.
Oh my goodness. Ninja. He actually deals with this more than I do because I do a lot of the post production stuff. So but I would you say it's like, you know, like kinda like team notes, team huddle.
Yeah. So team notes with Pastor Greg, and then when you first joined, we had he made basically like a guidebook type of thing, like a
spreadsheet.
Not a spreadsheet, but it's basically
almost
style
like
style guide. Style guide.
Yeah, style guide.
A style guide. So
which
like,
again is like
shots.
The mood board.
Yeah, basically a mood board. These are the shots we want, and then I work with him if there's anything special to capture.
Yeah.
Me and him in constant communication, but. Me and my team always like look at the photos. When someone's new, we kind of give them the style guide. Like these are the shots we want, and this is how we do certain things. And then with any special reel, special video, he'll send an example, and then we'll create like a shot list. So we're gonna get for this specific video, we need shot A, person walking down stage.
Yeah.
Shot B, change angle, different with a phone or a camera. Person, me with the greater step C. They do XYZ. So.
Yeah,
checklists. Like, hey, like we want a couple clips. And again, it's been over months that we've like been in communication back and forth. So it's never really okay, we communicated that. Why isn't everything looking?
Yeah.
It's like, hey, like especially when you're dealing with volunteers, like we have to be gracious. This is not what everyone does. And you know, obviously if somebody's being paid to do it, that standard needs to be higher, but even then, there's still communication with the team because I'm remote, and so we're constantly on a thread.
So communication aspect is what makes this work.
Yeah, regular communication.
Yeah,
and practice. Like he's had like people who have never shot, like pick up a camera for the first time, and so yeah, that I mean. Getting a lot of practice.
The practice is also critiquing, so like I'll look through and be like, okay, this is good, but this is how we can get closer to the vision.
Oh yeah, and so. Helpful tip if you're a creative, like don't get offended.
Awesome.
Like be unoffendable. Like you could think you shot the greatest thing of all time, and it may not be, or it may be, but it's not what they want or what they're looking for, and so just really like having a posture of humility. And being really easy to work with goes a long way. I'm not the greatest like social media person ever. I'm not the greatest like photographer. There are people better than me skill wise, but they're miserable to deal with. Okay, we got 1 minute. Last
1 minute. Hard stop. 1 minute.
1 minute.
Real quick. So how do you deal with? So we do like volunteer spotlight. We do some of that stuff, and it's engaging. I guess two questions are, how do you get your congregation to say, hey, buy into the social media, share it with your friends, right? People that don't know Jesus, people that we want to share with, how do you get them to buy in? And then conversely, when someone's like, well, I don't want to be on your social media, how do you deal with that? Mm. I don't know if you've had experience with that.
So they actually do, they actually have a list of people who do not want to be on social media, and they're on a do not shoot list. So that just helps some people have certain conviction about being in worship and photograph, and that's fine, that's their conviction. And so, again, we're not trying to create a war with people over stuff, we're trying to really just be helpful. So where they may not want to be on camera, maybe they're a good writer, maybe they contribute in a different way that we can leverage. So, and again, I know that we ran out of time, but feel free to talk to me like after.
Thank you, so much.
We have a desk at the